It's late at night, as I'm sure you well know, Mike. It's one of those days where we're kind of crossing over in time. In about 22 minutes, it'll be Saturday here in New Zealand. But I've still got another show to do tomorrow morning. Isn't that nice?
This is my second, and I'll be doing a third one in 4 hours and 20 minutes.
Don't you ever sleep, Mike?
Yeah, I do. I do. I actually got some good sleep last night, but it's like I have an audience in the middle of the night that is almost equal to what my daytime audience is that listens to the show on the replay. And I thought, you know, I can't get them a ShamWow. I can't send them all Ginsu knives because I don't have their addresses. And so what am I going to do? Let's go do a live show. And so that's why I'm here doing this live show.
Well, you're concerned about your listenership, of course, and you want to make them feel special. I mean, you've got to understand that.
Yeah, and so that's why we're doing it. We may make this a kind of a semi-regular deal because we've had fun. We've had some interesting calls tonight. We had one guy who spent 2.5 years on level 4 shining shoes of the Illuminati and the Reptilians.
Level 4 shining shoes in the Reptilian and Illuminati? What?
And even Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney, and Dick Cheney didn't tip.
Well, of course Dick Cheney didn't tip.
He's cheap.
Hey, why do you think the guy's lived to like 196 something or whatever? You know, he's real stingy on it, whatever, man. He keeps everything for himself.
And he's a man with no pulse.
Yeah, absolutely. He's basically been bionically grafted to that wheelchair of his. Okay? The reason why he's always with that wheelchair is because if they separate him from it, he will die.
And have you noticed with him that now he's retired from the system, that his health care is not as good as what he was receiving previously?
Yeah, I mean, he's very much like Darth Vader in that respect, you know?
Yeah.
There's some substandard machinery being employed here to keep that guy away and alive. And I just say, you know, there's a big technology and energy crisis out there. Why don't we just sacrifice all the resources that are being spent on Dick Cheney to save some real Americans on mainstream? How about that?
Well, we couldn't do that because then that would mean we would actually care about people and know. Can't do that. We have to just provide the appearance, but otherwise, you know, we need to keep going. I mean, we need people to send us $3. All That's right. The latest email I got from Barack Obama yesterday. Earlier in the month, it was $5 to offer a chance to win dinner with him. Now they just want $3 from me. They're desperate for me to send them $3 for a chance. Just eat dinner with Barack.
Well, you know, it will be the most interesting meal known to man, because I'm sure we can probably have some kind of micro broadcasting microphone there with you, Mike. And, you know, you can capture some secret talk with the president, you know. You could fake like you have a big interest in voodoo, and I'm sure you'll get along very well with him.
Yeah, but we'll probably say, I've got to ask you a question here. Mm-hmm. What is this deal with women flocking in New Zealand to apple-infused horse semen shots?
Apple-infused horse semen shots. Well, you know, to be honest, with that kind of craze that's been going on, you know, I've been aware and I've been involved in it for a number of years, but been trying to cut down a tad recently. Apparently that's something to do with the enormous hats that the women wear while they're at the races and something along those lines. There's some description of underground cult there.
Wow. I mean, horse semen? I mean, that's... I think that's just straight up gives you the willies.
Mike, this answers the age-old question. What is it with women and horses?
Well, that's very true. That's very true, yes.
There's these two old country bumpkins sitting on a porch, and they're kind of bored. And they say, "You want to play 20 questions?" He's like, "Oh yeah, you go pick out something, and I'll try to guess what it is." And the country bumpkin looks around. He sees a horse over the side of the fence, and he thinks to himself, "Ah, horse dick. Okay, I got it. I know what it is. I got it. You can ask your 20 questions." He says, "Okay. Can you eat it?" He said, "Well, I guess you could eat it." And he says, "Is it horse dick?"
And what was Dick's response?
That's the end of the joke.
The end of the joke, yeah, okay, all right.
Well, you know, he his Dick's response was, I'm going to keep an eye on you.
You know, one eye to the rescue. Yeah, there you go.
One eye to the rescue. Yeah. That's yeah. Right.
So you went and saw Transformers 3, right?
Oh, yeah. And it's really great, you know, if you're a conspiracy theorist, you take movies in a kind of different light sort of thing.
Right.
For example, Transformers 3, and a spoiler alert for all of those who want to enjoy it, I'm just going to do a little Illuminati movie review for you right here, kind of on an
impromptu basis. Sure, please do.
Here's the gig. The human race has been, well, lied to, basically, about the trip to the moon. Not that the trip to the moon was a lie, but that the reason that they went there and the Russians and all of that kind of stuff was that there's some description of alien technology, which they scammed, sneaked, tried to steal off with, and one of them incidentally caused Chernobyl, apparently. A few of these artifacts that they captured off this alien ship. And now, here we are on the raggedy edge, and the last people who flew the Ark ship of the Autobots from their doomed planet that was consumed in war has crash-landed on the moon and has joined the enemy's side. And they want to enslave all of the human race and teleport their own home planet here and then use us all as slave workers to rebuild the homeland that they lost due to their own arrogance and warfare.
So we're nothing more than gravel on the Autobot freeway.
It seemed to me that the Decepticons were a personification of the New World Order to me, Mike. Absolute contempt for all forms of human life. They call us insects. Okay? That's what really came home to me when watching that film, is that these creatures of foreign-type technological might with all their excess and dark intelligence, for all their great accomplishments and achievements throughout their entire existence in this universe, their best and highest achievement that they can ever hope for is to kill, maim, destroy, and enslave forever.
Wow, that does sound very New World Order-ish.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you had Pentagon help for the technical assistance.
and of course, as with that, well, that's entirely true. In fact, that was another interesting premise that came out in this film, is that there were humans working with the Decepticons. And interestingly enough, they were all the incredibly wealthy humans that were well hooked in with military contractors, and they're also high up in the banking industry.
So it's almost like predictive programming saying, get used to it.
Yeah. Get used to it. The governments and all the rich bastards are working with the aliens, and they're slowly drawing their plans against us to wind up exterminating and or enslaving or raping us all.
Well, then maybe the fact that Calvin called in, said he'd worked on Level 4 for 2.5 years, shining shoes of the Illuminati and the like, may not be so far off after all.
Well, you know, I mean, you'd have to see some description of evidence before you talk about somebody being a shoe shiner for the Illuminati. That kind of sounds a little bit way out of kilter. But then again, I've probably heard crazier things that are far more true.
He was working in Washington, D.C. at the Illuminati barbershop. There were 7 levels in this place, underground. Barack Obama came out one.
It was actually called the Illuminati barbershop.
Well, he said he was cutting shining the shoes of the Illuminati, but it wasn't called the Illuminati barbershop. But he was on level 4 of this 7-level complex, underground. Level 1 was parking. Level 2, he was not really sure. One of the levels had some brain experiments and other things. And some of the other levels had things like cloning and gene splicing. And he believed that Barack Obama had been gene spliced from a reptilian and a chimpanzee.
Freeman and Michael Tesarian came up with the exact same conclusion, as that he was in fact gene spliced and brought back to life. He's some kind of old Egyptian
Akhenaten, yes. Yeah, Akhenaten, yeah.
And you have a look at the statues and the carvings of this guy, they're exactly the same.
Yeah, he is kind of freaky, isn't it?
It's like they're a freaking clone. Like, yeah. That's the real scary part about it. is that in fact there was another movie that I saw. No. It was an episode of Futurama, and I watch a lot of television and movies. I can guarantee you, I can sit down with a movie and I can tell you, you know, when all those casts and all the makers of the film, all those names fly by, I can name about half of those on any given movie I sit down on because I know a lot about it. And this is what struck me. I was watching Futurama the other night. And they invented this time machine that only goes forward through time, right? So they went forward through time, and they kept going forward, trying to find a backward-going time machine, because they sneezed, and, you know, they accidentally pushed themselves a few thousand years in the future, so they were late for dinner. And so eventually they realized that they'd gone too far. So they went towards the end of the universe, and they watched the entire universe itself, all the stars just implode and nothing but blackness. And then a second Big Bang happened, and another universe formed exactly as it was the first time.
Imagine!
Yeah, and this is something that, and what that made me think of was what Dr. Bill Deagle told me on my show the other day, was when he went down into these big scary underground bases or whatever, the first thing he was told about was some description of a black satellite that's like floating around up there somewhere that's from an ancient human civilization. That human civilization has existed and been destroyed many times on this planet, and everybody wonders about the end times, and now there's this big, seems to be this big fake alien invasion type of propaganda campaign being stepped up. And my consideration is, look, everybody's been predicting the end of the world, and you could make t-shirts, and you'd have to make very many different types of them, I survived this many apocalypses, in order to be accurate. I don't worry about the end of the world, because as far as I'm concerned, as soon as I've lived this moment, that's the end of that moment, and there's only one of those.
Yeah,
so you're going to make every one of them count.
And if you sit and think about it, it wouldn't take but maybe a generation or two for any knowledge of technology that had existed for that to disappear, because just out of sheer survival, if you don't need those skills, you're going to put those back. You're not going to teach them to the next generation, because they certainly can't use those skills. So those skills and technologies would certainly disappear, and you would go about rediscovering them all over again.
That's right. I mean, when you need to survive with a stone-tipped spear and need to learn how to make a fire, the last thing that's on your mind is Pythagoras' theorem and calculus.
Yeah, or one of the things I've wondered is maybe, you know, I realize we've done this to ourselves time and time again, if there's not something that causes us to have a brain wipe. And that we basically all wake up one day and we got freaking amnesia, and we have to set about figuring it all out again, and the survival takes over and everything else goes by the wayside. And after a while, you reinvent, you know, your own identities, other things like that, and you off you go, and you recreate. It's almost like, I don't know if you watched the finale of Battlestar Galactica.
I did, yeah.
That was on Sci-Fi.
Oh yeah.
That they gave up the technology. And that yet, you know, here they are, you know, like 100,000 years later, the technology is recreated, and here are the robots and other things like that, the very things that almost meant the end of human civilization, 100,000 years down the road, being completely reinvented and appearing again.
See, and what the ancients would really want for us, their forebears, is to send us a warning. And this is, and I think, you know, Mike, we've been warned plenty of times. There's copious quantities of scripture out there that warn about, you know, takeovers of tyranny. History itself, that's the biggest warning of all.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't even matter who writes it, because it all says the same message. Corrupt scumbags will try and overthrow the people, and then they'll go completely insane and destroy themselves and the cultures they lead. Okay?
But the thing is, it doesn't get taught in schools, because it's not a date somebody can memorize.
Well, that's actually the way, and the reason why the hardest teachers to find now in the United States, and the ones that are getting fired most, are history teachers. Because they don't teach history in a way that really people care about. Like you said, dates and figures and all of that kind of stuff. History isn't about dates and figures. It's about corrupt figures.
Well, exactly. And most schools here in America now, the teaching of history is relegated to people like the football coach. And the basketball coach, who's thinking more about X's and O's and tonight's game, as opposed to teaching his kids any real history and anything meaningful. I remember my junior year in high school. I knew more history than the teacher did.
not something that's completely unfeasible. I mean, what are we all doing now? We're not freaking thinking anymore, are we?
No, no.
We've been trained specifically not to think because it's dangerous. Exactly.
Right, and when we allow somebody else to create our opinions for us.
Well, yeah. Copy, follow blindly, ladies and gentlemen, at your peril, because it's quite well. You know, I don't even have to remind this audience, do we, Mike? I mean, everybody here, you're listening. You understand what the heck is going on, and even if you don't understand what the heck is going on, you certainly know that something's wrong.
Right. Exactly. And I think a lot of people that aren't even aware. They know something's wrong, but based on the information they have no way to put their finger on what the real issue is. Oh yeah, they know we're broke. They know all that. But they don't understand how it works. They don't understand the banking system, that everything is debt money, that it's all bogus. It's all created out of thin air. They think there's actually something real and tangible. They don't realize the money they use to pay for their house is an illusion.
It's all a big illusion. All the world's a stage. And, you know, that's why I wanted to get into the media, Mike, is that people who talk about the illusions and actually really get the truth out there, hey, they're generally not filmmakers, they're not broadcasters, they're not people who can amplify the power of their voice. And right. But they do know how to research. Me, personally, I don't know how to research with a lick, but I do know how to promote the living Shiite Muslim out of people. And I do it, you know, five days a week on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. At American Freedom Radio. In fact, tomorrow, Mike, we're having on Stuart's and Janet Swerdlow, and a guest of theirs, I forget who, somebody about underground bases or psychic connections or something. And in the second hour, we're going to have Len Horowitz and Sherry Kane join us. It's the two most discriminated couples in the truth movement. And I've only just started to realize what happens when you put your name next to people like that. Boy, does the abuse come in. I love it. I'm just the absolute craziest attention-seeking scumbaggery type that you've ever conceivably seen of, and I love antagonizing those people along YouTube commenting. Oh, boy.
Well, there you go.
I'm such a sadistic pain in the ass when it comes to scumbags, Mike. I just can't help but play with them, you know?
Well, there you go, yeah. And what else is there to do in New Zealand besides count sheep?
Yeah, well, you know, there's I think there's 4 million people, and there's 40 times as many sheep as there are people in this country.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
You know, recently I come to the revelation that there's actually just 41 times as many sheep.
Well, hey, when you can put it into perspective, look, you're way ahead.
You know, and you know what? I see people driving around in New Zealand with Obama 08 change we can believe in bumper stickers.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! That's incredible. And on that note, we got to go, man. Hey, thanks for coming on with me in the last little bit of the show. I appreciate it. I had a good time. Always enjoy talking with you.
Always good, man. Hey, and also Tracy Kennedy, you and me, I'm going to organize for us to come on my show. That's going to be like one of the most devastating shows that's ever been on air, bro. It's going to hurt people.
Well, get with me and we'll put it all together.
Yeah, yeah. It's got all right, man.
All right, man. You have a great night. Go to bed.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, bye. All right.